This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Here we go into What am I doing? Here we go into hour number two. I know what I'm doing. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit is what I'm doing, but that's okay. That's okay, because it's a big segment. It's an important segment.
Lay on the floor, do your breathing exercises.
Honestly, I kind of want to, all right? If this, can this microphone reach the floor? I'm going to go ahead, listen.
That's two, by the way. You didn't see it, but it's two.
I didn't. Thank you for... Yeah,
I don't believe it would reach the floor. But you're welcome to try.
I thought about it. According to... Oh, this laying on the floor thing is a real thing. Okay. It's a real thing. I believe American Association of Psychologists, has done the research on this. Effectively, laying on the floor has a bunch of positive. Okay. If you missed it.
Sounds crazy.
Back in the first segment, we were talking about J.J. Redick and how I've done a total 180 from he's LeBron's lapdog. He's a dude that is only getting an opportunity here because he managed to wrangle Braun into doing a podcast where they drink red wine and talk about basketball, too. Actually, this dude pretty good. Like, this dude pretty good at the whole coaching an NBA team thing. Like, I think the team has officially bought in to the J.J. philosophy. And... we played the speech he gave after the Lake Show dominated the Nuggets, and it starts with, all right, that's all that matters for this, okay? Number one, part of the reason I'm in on JJ, because I believe him, all right? I know, I think a lot of coaches would lie about that. I couldn't sleep last night, boys. And I'm like, yeah, all right, whatever. I believe him. Number two, he said, I couldn't take a nap today. I'm going to go and tell you this. If there's something going on in my life that I'm so excited that I can't get a nap in, it's a big deal. All right? I'm big on Team Siesta. But then JJ said, yeah, I was laying on the floor doing my breathing exercises. And Lonzo asked if I lay on the floor and do breathing exercises. And the answer is half yes. I lay on the floor. I don't feel like I need to exercise breathing. I'm pretty good at it. I have, and this is true, been doing it my whole life.
Do you do you have crystals when you do that?
I do not.
Okay.
Right. I do not. However,
maybe some copper.
According to scientific research done by the American Association of Psychologists,
some
I believe.
Science dude.
Hey, science bros. Lying on the floor can potentially help with posture and spinal alignment by providing a firm surface that evenly distributes body weight. It does have posture benefits. It does have muscle engagement benefits. It has pain relief benefits as all the nerves in your body run through your spine. And so by lying on the floor and distributing the weight evenly, it allows your spine to go back to what should be its natural position, which if you are like, standing up for long periods of time during the day might get out of whack. It can help with temperature regulation. If your body is too warm or too cold, laying on the floor can actually regulate your temperature. It's going to just start to distribute the blood flow. And on top of that, you don't have an artificial warming surface because, you know, like a mattress or a couch, they retain and distribute heat back into you. The floor doesn't do that. So there's a lot of benefits to this.
Wasn't there a song, "You Make Me Want to Lie on the Floor"?
I mean, I will add one more. There are two times in my life I am predominantly found lying on the floor. Number one, well, you know number one. Number one's after Rob had a long night.
A botched rail slide.
Avoiding his emotions.
Definitely a botched rail slide.
Now, I went on the floor for long for that. I was on the floor, but not for long. I got up. I was good. Bounced back. Fighting shape. Number two is, if I am overwhelmed, and fellas, listen to Uncle Rob on this. It's okay to be overwhelmed. You're people too, all right? I'm tired of this, like, oh, you know, you're a man. You got to put, hey, it's okay to be overwhelmed. Life is overwhelming. There's a lot going on. If you're overwhelmed, I'm dead serious. Trust me on this. Text me back tomorrow. Tell me I'm right. If you are feeling overwhelmed, I'm serious this works. Take 10 minutes. Just lay on the floor. Just lay on the floor. Lay flat on your back on the floor. Stare at the ceiling and go into the brain box. Just stop. Just don't think. Lay on the floor, look up at the ceiling, and just breathe. I'm telling you, it's like, it's my go-to. The wife, can't tell you how many times the wife has come home to me laying on the floor so many times that, like, she doesn't even ask questions anymore because she knows that if she asks me, it's just going to, like, wind me up again. She's just like, all right, let me know when you're ready to talk. And that's an immense help, okay? I'm telling you, take 10 minutes, lay on the floor. Lonzo, when the show's over, take 10 minutes, lay on the floor. I'll help you up. You're going to feel better.
First of all, you're not strong enough. Second of all, no.
I don't know if that's more of a dig at me or a dig at you, to be honest.
Both.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Ladies and gentlemen, it is 7:05 in the morning. You are 55 minutes away from having to get to the office and pretend like you want to be there. You don't. Which means that at some point, you're going to walk away and do your bestest to try to avoid work. You know what a good way to do that is? Talking about sports. Go find that one coworker that you really like. That one coworker that talks sports with you. Go find that one coworker you enjoy spending a few minutes with. And when you do, and you talk sports, well, you are going to know what's going on because you will have listened to this. It is the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports this morning. When you do, this is what you will be talking about. Let us dive right into our, nope. See, how did I do that earlier? I said item to start the hour, now I said hour to start item. Item number one, I don't know how big of a deal this is. I do know it is a deal. Shedeur Sanders has said that he will not work out at the combine. He is still expected to be there. He is expected to meet with teams. We do not know if he will go through the medical test that take place at the combine. We do not know how intense of a meeting he will agree to with teams, but Shedeur Sanders has decided that he will not work out for teams at the combine. He announced that yesterday. The reason I find this interesting is because of the amount of blowback, the amount of heat that Shedeur Sanders has taken here. Shedeur Sanders, as I scrolled through the social media after the announcement that he would not work out for teams, has been put on blast. Hey, Shedeur, there's a lot of teams that are inside the top 10 that are interested in getting into the top 10 looking for a quarterback. And this year, there are only two that are being considered as like potential number one and number two overall picks. It is Cam Ward out of Miami, and it is Shedeur Sanders out of Colorado. And the heat has been, hey, Shedeur, with all these teams interested in drafting you, why would you not work out at the combine? And he's been, as much as I think that there is probably going to be some baggage that comes with Shedeur Sanders, mainly that of being Deion's kid and all of the attention that's going to come along with that. And down the line, the potential for Deion Sanders to get more involved in that. I don't have an issue with this. Like, I don't. I don't think that throwing or not throwing at the combine has really any bearing on anything. Let me get a list of some names that did not throw at the combine. Derek Carr did not throw at the combine. Now, you can look at Derek Carr and go, lulz, is that an argument? Derek Carr has been in the NFL for a very long time. And Derek Carr has had some very good seasons in the NFL. I'm not arguing he's taking the Saints to the Super Bowl. That's all fun and jokes and hearty har har from Rob Brown. Derek Carr has been a very good quarterback over the years. Okay? Andrew Luck did not throw at the combine. Sam Bradford did not throw at the combine. Matt Ryan did not throw at the combine. Some other guys that did not throw at the combine. Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Two Gloves was never a top-notch starting, you know, Super Bowl caliber quarterback, but it gave you a long career as a bona fide number two, an occasional starter if he needed to be, and a guy you could rely on for many years. Tim Tebow did not throw at the combine. Matt Stafford did not throw at the combine. I'd say Matt Stafford has had a little bit of success in the league. There's other names that did not throw at the combine. Johnny Manziel did not throw at the combine. Robert Griffin III did not throw at the combine. Brock Osweiler, Blaine Gabbert, Sam Bradford, Jamarcus Russell, Brady Quinn. None of them threw at the combine. The point here is, it ain't that big of a deal, okay? If you're evaluating a quarterback, whether or not he's able to throw is something I'm evaluating in a game, right? Like, his ability to throw to an open wide receiver running a seven route with no defense, buddy, I can do that. We can go out to the park. I got football right here. Me and Lonzo can go out. If I can get Lonzo running a seven route to the far side of the parking lot, I'm going to drop it in the bread basket. All right? I can do that. The question mark is this quarterback capable of doing that when that seven route is going to run him between a free safety and a linebacker dropped in coverage? When there's a one-yard window that he's got to drop a ball down into in a live action. Oh, by the way, with a defensive tackle or an end or a blitz coming off. Can he throw that ball? That's it. I got to tell you, like, there are elements of the combine that are important. But if you're a guy that graded out as first or second round talent in college football, you probably shouldn't work at the combine. There are some things that's not going to help you all that much. Right? Now, if you're a sixth round grade and you're in danger of not being drafted at all, it can help you to go there, to run some drills, to show that you've got acceleration, to show you've got foot speed, to show you've got awareness, yada, yada, yada. Shedeur Sanders isn't going to do anything at the draft that's going to make people go, oh, we should draft him higher. He's going to be one of the top two picks because that's where we are. So I don't get the pushback on Shedeur Sanders, but maybe that's just me. Item number two. Not a hockey guy, don't worry. I'm helping you get there. 882 goals. That is how many on the career have been scored by Alex Ovechkin of the Washington Capitals. 882 goals puts him 13 off the mark of the all-time scoring record set by the great one himself, Wayne Gretzky. Ovechkin fired a wrister past Calvin Pickard for his first goal of the game, scored on a power play for his second goal, sailed a shot into an empty net from his own zone to complete the second hat trick of 2025. Three goals puts him within 13 of the great one. And I do want to point out that Ovi missed 16 games this season because he broke his leg. He missed 16 games with a broken freaking leg. Doesn't matter. Dude's out there putting up hatties at this point. 19 goals on the season, on his way to getting there. A record that was long considered untouchable is going to be broken by the end of the year because Alex Ovechkin is on an absolute heater right now. The dude is scoring at a goals per game rate that is it's just untouchable by anybody else in the league. If you are at all interested in hockey, going to be worth watching Washington games for the rest of the year. Let's get to item number three. College baseball underway. The South Carolina Gamecocks and Clemson Tigers both had home series this weekend. Clemson went 4-0 dating back to last Friday at the Clemson Baseball Invitational. They had a 6-2 win over VCU. They followed it up the next day with a 12-7 win over North Carolina A&T. Then a barn burner, 4-3 winners over the Rams of VCU, and they ended it up yesterday with a 4-2 win over North Carolina A&T in the final game of the Clemson Baseball Invitational. Justin Laguernic had 6 innings, 1 hit, 4 walks, 6 Ks, but the W was ultimately awarded to Joe Allen, who did 2.1 to finish up the game, gave up just 1 hit, K'd 5 through 7 batters, faced 8, K'd 5 of them. Pretty good day overall for Clemson at pitching from the plate. A pair of hits from Tristan McClatty, a pair of hits from Colin Priest. Clemson only had 5 hits in this game, 4 of them between those two players, but it was all that they needed to get that win. Over for the Gamecocks, they had a 3-game set against the Milwaukee Panthers at home on Friday, 5-2 winners, 6-3 on Saturday. They wrapped it up yesterday with a 14-4 8-inning win over the Panthers. From the bump yesterday, a pretty good day overall for South Carolina, as they are going to, it is the pulmonary way, kind of lean on pitching a little bit. From the Dish had a good day as well in the win overall. This is a South Carolina team that I'm excited to see them start to line up against their best competition. 14-4, sorry, I meant to give you the actual box score stats because I did not do that, mainly because they were loading in still. For South Carolina, Jake McCoy, 4 innings, gave up 2 hits, 3 earned runs, did K8. The win will go to Ashton Crowther, who had 2 innings pitched, just 1 hit allowed, K'd 3 of the 6 that he faced. From the Dish, good day overall. Ethan Petrie had a pair of hits on 3 ABs. Nolan Rocky had 2 on 2 ABs. A 4-hit day for Will Tippett out of the shortstop spot. Had an RBI in the mix as well. South Carolina filled up the score sheet and got out of there in 8 innings. They will have Gardner Webb tomorrow, and then we have a weekend series. The Palmetto series Friday is going to be at Clemson. Saturday, right here in the GVL at Floor Field, Clemson and South Carolina at 1:30, and then at 5 p.m. on Sunday, the rubber match will take place over in Columbia. South Carolina taking on Los Tigres in a 3-game set this weekend that is going to be, honestly, the first true challenge for South Carolina to evaluate where they are. Clemson does have 1 blemish on the record, but it was also the best team that either of these two teams have played so far. Looking forward to the weekend, and we will talk more about that moving forward. All right, got a couple of things we're going to do. We got John Blau coming up at 8:40. Coming up here in just a few minutes. I've been carrying around this CVS box for like 3 days because I got some new decoration for the walls. I'm going to reveal it coming up here in just a little while because I'm actually very excited. It's going to hang right there under the TV, just right there in perpetuity, or until Diesel moves it because he hates it. We'll see. We'll see which one comes first. Rob Lonzo and you, the Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The NFL Combine starts on Thursday, well, at least the activities portion. Players will start arriving today. The team meetings, medical evaluations, et cetera, officially start tomorrow. Shedeur Sanders, University of Colorado quarterback, expected to be one of the first players off the board as one of the two QBs in the draft that are considered first-round prospects. He, of course, and Miami quarterback Cam Ward hold that distinction as of right now. There's a few other guys like Jackson Dart that I find very interesting. And as we get through the combine and closer to the draft, we will obviously evaluate those in more depth and detail. But Shedeur Sanders has been taking some heat across the social media sphere for deciding not to throw, not to work out at the NFL Combine later on this week. Keep it a buck, I don't have an issue with it. I don't have a problem with it at all. There's nothing Shedeur Sanders can do at the Combine to help himself. If you are at number one, there's nowhere to go in terms of up. You're just there. Now, you can get better when you were at number one. But that this is not a place you go to get better. This is a place you go to show that you are good. This is not a practice. This is a job interview. Put it this way. If you're in line for a new job, there's a lot of things that you can do to prep yourself for an interview. You can go to websites that will help you clean up your resume. You can go meet with people who will help you prepare for the business that you are trying to enter. You can role play with people for a job interview to prepare yourself for questions that you may be asked and questions that you wish to deliver. But once you are in the job interview, the time for practice is over. You must execute. If you sat down across from a potential employer and they said, "Where do you see yourself in 5 years?" And you said, "Do you mind if I try out 3 or 4 different answers and see which one that you like the best?" You're not getting that job. That's what this is for Shedeur Sanders. So what Shedeur is going to do here is walk into the doors of a place of employment, of which the number of candidates who are qualified to accept the position is exceptionally limited. This is something that most of us will never deal with. The number of people who could replace me at this job is maybe not as high as other jobs, but it ain't low. My boss probably gets 50 to 60 resumes and demo reels a day from people who want this job. And so the best way I have to keep this job is to come in here and kick ass at it all the time. And do you know what I do? I take the success, I put it on tape, and I am continuously showing it, or I guess in this case, playing it for him. Yeah. And going, here's my success. That's what Shador did at Colorado. And now he has a demo tape. And he's going to put that demo tape in front of the bosses, a.k.a. general managers, head coaches, and owners. And he's going to go, here's what I'm capable of doing. Here's what I can do for you. And then he's going to hope that with the limited number of candidates available to these employers, that they're going to see the demo tape, they're going to see the reel, they're going to see the work that he did in his last job, and they're going to go, good enough for us. You got the job. If Shador Sanders shows up at the combine and it's throwing day and he gets out onto the field and he has a real bad day, he can only be hurt. There's no upward mobility. Now, there are some guys that maybe it could help a little bit. Jackson Dart, guy we brought up just a second ago. Jackson Dart could go to the combine, have a great day, and scouts and owners and coaches and general managers might look at that guy and go, oh, there's some arm talent there we didn't see. There's some throws in the bag we didn't see. Now, I don't know if Jackson Dart is necessarily the best candidate because Jackson Dart plays in that Lane Kiffin system of offense. And Lane Kiffin's offensive system has always been maximize the throws that our quarterback is good at, minimize the throws that aren't his best, which certainly helps Jackson Dart look good. I will argue that it doesn't necessarily help him in the eyes of the NFL because the NFL is going to say, oh, well, you only threw X amount of this type of throw or X amount to this type of route. And we need to know, if we're going to draft you in the first round, we need to know that you're capable of all the throws. We need to know that you're capable of getting it to all the routes. Shador Sanders at Colorado, in Deion's system, frankly to me, was a guy who was making all the throws to all the routes. There are some elements of his game I think need to be cleaned up, need to be improved upon. There's a lot of his game I think is very good. I think Shador Sanders showed that he has foot speed outside of the pocket. I think he showed that he's actually got a pretty decent, for all the crap that's been talked about him, I think he showed that he's got a pretty good read on when to tuck and run and how to tuck and run. He's not like Jaden Daniels, who the biggest critique of Jaden Daniels was what? The guy keeps running into tackles. And when he runs into tackles, you get to the point that you get worried he's going to get hurt. And he did it a couple of times this year for the Commanders. Spots where I'm like, God, go down. I got a rookie of the year ticket I need you to win, big dog. Go down. Shador's not really that guy. I think he showed a lot of flash, a lot of good. There's nothing that benefits Shador Sanders from throwing at the NFL Combine. Nothing at all. If you're beating this kid up, and I've done this throughout the year, I'm not immune to it. If you are beating this kid up for not throwing at the combine, I genuinely think that you are beating him up because he's Deion's kid. Now, throughout the last couple of years at Colorado and his time at Jackson State, I haven't had an issue with that because I do think that Deion Sanders is a guy who is wanted and who likes the spotlight on him. And I think it has benefited Colorado in a way. Colorado has definitively received more attention on their football program and therefore more money into it over the past 2 or 3 years than they have probably since they won a natty back in, what, 1990?
Is he the first quarterback drafted this year?
I'm going to say yes. And I'm going to say yes because, remember last year going into the draft, there was all the talk about Caleb Williams and his...
Is he worth trading for? Is he worth Tennessee trading out as the number one pick?
If I was Tennessee, I would not give up on what I got in Will Levis. And if I was Tennessee, with there only being two quarterbacks, he and Cam Ward, that are viewed as first-round, top 10 talent, I would, because I do think there will be some teams, New York Giants, that might be willing to offer up a king's ransom. I got a buddy here in Tennessee. His name's Jonathan. Good dude. He's asked me a couple of times. He's a Titans fan. What do we do here? And my response has been, if you get a king's ransom in money, in trade picks, in compensation, you trade back. If somebody doesn't come to you with a king's ransom, go ahead and take him. Put him up against Will Levis. Let him have a legitimate competition. Let's see who wins the thing.
The top three teams are Tennessee, Cleveland, and the Giants. All three kind of need quarterbacks if you don't believe in Will Levis. And then it's Patriots at four. I don't think they do that.
Nope, they're good with Drake May.
Jacksonville, probably not.
They're good with Trevor Lawrence.
But Vegas could
use a quarterback,
they
too.
They could trade up, and so could the Jets.
Well, there's probably 12, 11 teams in the NFL that I could see making a move to get one of these two guys, which is why I said if I'm Tennessee sitting at one, giving you the option, the only place where you have an option to either one of the guys, I want a king's ransom for the move, or else I'm taking Shadur.
The prevailing theory that I've seen out there is that he's going to the Giants, which would be pick three.
That's my thought too. But again, I got to see who makes the phone calls between here and draft day, between here and Tennessee going on the clock, because the prevailing theory is if nobody moves, which I think that's unlikely. Cam Ward's interesting in this conversation. Remember last year going into the draft, there was all the talk about Caleb Williams and his mental fortitude and whether or not he was the guy and he was this and he's that, which I said, I don't think that's fair. The guy paints his fingernails. Who the hell cares? The guy cried on the sideline. Who the hell cares? He was distraught. He was told throughout the season that his team was going to be a national championship contender, and they ended up losing a couple of games to bad teams in games where he was popping off and doing everything he was supposed to do. But he's got, I think, a fraud of a head coach and a defense behind him that was a joke. Of course he's upset. Who cares? That's all bad. Cam Ward's the opposite. As much as I, for the record, do not care that Cam Ward played long enough in his bowl game to break some records and then quit, I don't care. Because none of you have ever sat there with a potential $25 million check on the line and had to make a decision about whether or not you would do something that would put that at risk. I've never had to do that. I assume the majority of y'all have never had to do that. So I don't care about that. But there were other spots throughout the season where I do think Cam Ward laid it down, where I do think Cam Ward backed off the throttle a little bit, where I think Cam Ward went into protection mode, business mode. And I don't really know how I feel about that as an NFL guy. I'm not a Cam Ward guy. As talented as he is, honestly, I think Cam Ward's more talented than Shadur Sanders. I think he's got a better arm on him. I think Cam might be a better runner, but I'll give him a tie there. Cam Ward, I don't trust when the pressure cooker gets cranked to 11. What comes along with being Deion's kid, alongside all of the heat, critique, and criticism, Shadur Sanders has lived his whole life in the pressure cooker. Everybody's been waiting to see that he was going to be Deion's kid, that he was going to put on display everything that you would hope he was genetically gifted with by being the spawn of primetime. So the kids felt pressure. I'm not really worried about that, to keep it a buck with you. What I would say about these two cats is throwing at the combine helps no one. It helps no one. So get off his ass. Stop sending him the tweets. That Shadur can't help himself. He's going off the board no later than number three. And showing up and throwing the wide open, uncovered wide receivers who aren't wearing pads while he's not in a helmet is not going to make a team go, oh, now we got to go get him at number one. Because he can throw a dime on a seven route when a guy's uncovered and not wearing a helmet. They're not going to do that. Shadur can't do anything at the combine but hurt himself. So get off him. There's no need to be turning the heat up on this kid for making a decision that cannot benefit him. If I thought there was even a chance it could take him from 3-1, I'd be like, yeah, do it. But it can't. He's got 2 years of tape at Colorado. If that ain't enough to get him number one, nothing is. Certainly not throwing to open, uncovered, no defense wide receivers at the NFL Combine. All right, let's take a break. When we come back here in a minute, I've been carrying around this CVS box for like a week now. Got a new decoration, a new addition to the studio, and I'll unveil it next. The stream's up, facebook.com/thefanupstate, the Fan Upstate on YouTube and Twitter, the Rob Brown Show on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. We'll do that next on the Fan Upstate. It is a classic bro tradition to watch sports on TV and try to convince yourself, I could do that. I could hit that shot. I could throw that pass. I could make that catch. I could whatever. One just came up on the TV that I openly acknowledge and admit I absolutely could not do. St. John's, the Red Storm, they have a bird mascot. I think it's a cardinal. I'm not sure. But the guy that is this mascot, he flaps his arms, well, wings, but arms, you know, and he does it the whole game. I asked Zoe during the break, do you think that you could flap your arms for an entire college basketball game? Because my answer is absolutely not. I just did it like 15 times and I'm tired. Like, this is the most...
How do we even know it's a guy?
Person is fair, okay? The individual portraying the St. John's some kind of red bird, some kind of bird mascot. I think it's a cardinal. I'm going to say red bird. Flaps his arms for the whole game. Never stops. No matter what. Winning, losing, big win, big loss, doesn't matter. Keeps the arms flapping the entire time. If I asked you to do that for an entire college basketball game, could you make it? Because my answer is hell to the no, no, no. Ain't no chance. I don't think any of us could do it. There may be a couple of you guys that are in like great shape that feel like you could pull it off. I'm telling you right now, ain't no chance.
All right, according to the internet, that's Johnny Thunderbird.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Johnny Thunderbird, which, by the way,
Johnny Thunderbird.
That's my new stage name. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Johnny Thunderbird.
Wow.
Told you, I flapped my arms like 6 times. They're exhausted. I'm just giving out over here. All right.
That thing is not that heavy, so that's not good.
I got some new decor for the studio here. For those of you that may remember, a couple of months ago, I ordered a flag that was expected to be delivered, and I was going to hang it in the studio. Not only did it never show up, but I am now like 97% convinced that I got scammed. All right? I've ordered flags before, because those of you watching on the stream, you know that over in the corner, there is a flag with the official logo of the Rob Brown Show on it. It's been hanging in the studio since I got here. 5 years now that thing's been on the wall. I ordered another flag, but from a different company. And I'm pretty sure I got. Because that flag not only never showed up, but I followed up on that flag like 3 times and have not gotten a single response. So I got. So I decided I was going to flip it up. And instead, I just had an actual poster made. Ladies and gentlemen, the wins and losses are not a quarterback stat poster is going to go on the wall officially, because wins and losses are not a quarterback stat.
I'm glad that you only put your picture on there, because you're the only one, I believe, on the station who believes that. So,
I don't think I am.
I'm pretty sure you are. Oh, okay. Who else?
Well, I don't know who else.
Okay. All right.
But you don't either.
You're just making an assumption, too. I believe that Cole and Diesel.
Call Cole right now. Call Cole. Call him. Tell him come on the air.
I'm not going to call him.
Call him. Let's get Cole Bryson on the air. Let's see if we can get Cole in here. I want his thoughts on this. I think you're right about Diesel. I think Diesel's 100% going to agree with you. I think Diesel's the dude
that will say. You picked the one that you believe is going to be on your side.
Well, yes. Why would I pick the one that I think isn't? That'd be silly.
It would
be. I'm trying to make a point.
You're right.
That'd be dumb. wins and losses aren't a quarterback stat. Wins and losses are a team stat. Now, again, people can contribute more to a win or more to a loss than other people. I'm gonna put more emphasis on the guy who throws the ball 30 times in a game than I am the punter. But I would also say that if there's 4, 5, 6 punts in a game and the punter is consistently putting the other team into the coffin corner, then they were part of the stat.
Did you say coffin corner?
Coffin corner.
Okay. All right.
It is a
no,
term.
I know what it is, but that's not what you said. So
it used to be very important in football, and it's a lost art. And if you can find a punter who has coffin corner capability, that's a weapon. All right? Like friend of the show, Johnny Hecker. Friend of the show, Johnny Hecker's got coffin corner capability in him.
I've texted him. He hasn't responded. Okay. So I'm not just going to call someone out of the blue because he has another thing that he does, and I, you know, he might be busy.
What's more important than this? A job? Ugh.
Yeah. His other one.
Ugh. Boo.
Which I'm not sure he talks about, so I didn't want to mention it, but you did. So, I mean, you know.
A job? More important than coming on the air and talking to us? Shenanigans.
Also, without explanation, it probably is going to think that he's going to get ambushed. So, I mean, that's what I would think.
No, I'm bringing him on to give him a chance to prove that he knows ball. Because.
Wow. That's kind of an ambush.
Wins and losses are not a quarterback stat. We went to pick this up because I printed it at the wrong CVS. I thought I printed it at the one by my house, and I didn't. I printed it at one that was like 12 miles down the road because I'm an idiot.
Oh, wow. That's a long drive.
Yeah, I know. Well, I told the wife, I'm like, hey, I got to run to CVS. We were out and about doing some stuff anyway. So I got to run by CVS. I had something printed out. We went in. The lady's like, it's not this one. It's that one. And I said, well, that one's 12 miles away. And she goes, yeah. And she pulls up the order, and it was definitely the wrong one. The wife was not thrilled. But had the whole poster made. Ladies and gentlemen, wins and losses are not a quarterback stat. I felt it so important that I made a 16 by 20 poster that's going right back there on the wall. Because the people need to know, all right?
I hope you didn't pay a lot for that because, you know, it might get misplaced.
Number one, it was like $16.
Okay. I'm not going to misplace it, but it could get misplaced.
Well worth it. $16 to make a poster. people are in trouble. I didn't know I could spend $16 to make a poster. But now I do.
So you're going to be willing to do that as a joke for something. Okay.
Something? Everything.
All right.
Everything. And with my exceptional knowledge of graphic design, because come on, how good is that? With my exceptional knowledge of graphic design.
I don't know. Is your head centered between the
T and the A?
I don't know.
Right on the 50.
No, but it's not centered between the T and the A.
Well, it's because I got a crooked-ass head. All right, it's on the. Well, you got it in between the 50-yard line.
I'm just saying it would have been better if that stat was over just a little.
Stat is also centered on the 50-yard line,
but it's not centered on your head.
But I'm centered on the 50-yard line.
You just talked about how good you are at graphic design. I can't believe you made that mistake.
There's no mistake. I didn't make a mistake. It's a damn good poster.
Well, it's also an inaccurate poster. So it is
because they left like a little bit of a border over here. So it's a little inaccurate. I
could have used scissors.
I got to find one of those exacto.
Oh, we got one of those. I think this got. They may have one in engineering.
I'll find one. Point here is wins and losses aren't a quarterback stat. I believe in so much I had a poster.
We use it when producers get out of line.
I was on the
got a lot of nine fingers rolling around here.
Sunday morning. I got a call from a cat by the name of Sean Levine, the sports machine. He is a nationally syndicated host on the Infinity Sports Network. Sean Levine called me at like 10 o'clock. He's like, hey, bro, can you come on the show today? I said, sure, why not? What do you want to talk about? He said, I want to get some NFL.
You didn't think for a second that you were being ambushed like Cole probably does.
Not at all. And even if I was, I'm a microphone lady of the night. Can I say the W word? Is that radio friendly?
I'd rather you not.
I know you would.
I mean, you could say harlot.
It doesn't have the same chutzpah to it.
Well, it depends on your delivery.
Doesn't have the same impact to it. I'm a microphone harlot. No, you know what I am.
Just say ho. You can say microphone ho. Everyone knows.
I feel like ho is not even like that's the same caliber of word. All right, either way, Sean Levine, the sports machine, called me at like 10 a.m. on Sunday. He's like, hey, bro, you want to come on at 11:20, talk some NFL?
Did he call you bro?
Yeah, he's a big bro guy.
Okay.
So am I. For sure, bro. What are we going to talk about, bro? Talk about some NFL, bro? Absolutely, bro. So he calls me and come on some talk about some NFL. Basically, he just wanted to run over the Panthers. He wanted to run over the Jags. He wanted to talk about the NFL teams that we cover here on the show, as he's just kind of doing like a round robin, getting closer and closer to the draft. And we started talking. He said, hey, what's the future for Bryce Young? Is he the dude? And I said, I'm going to keep it a buck with you. Anybody who watches this team and anybody who saw the back half of that season last year, if you don't think he's the guy, you don't know ball. If you didn't see the upward trajectory, you don't know ball. And Sean Levine said, how many of those games did you win, Rob? And I, into the phone, loudly enough to be heard on nationally syndicated radio on the Infinity Sports Network, on Sunday morning went, and Sean went, that's not good radio. I was like, yeah, no, I know. Neither is saying, but how many did you win? Did you see an upward trajectory, Sean Levine? And he goes, yeah, but did I said, nah, that's not what I asked you. I said, did you see an upward trajectory? He said, yeah. I said, was it a good one? He said, yeah. I said, there you go. There you go. Because wins and losses aren't a quarterback stat. There are 11 guys that are on the field playing football in the Carolina blue and silver that aren't on the field with Bryce Young. They have a job to do too. When they're giving up 27, when BY gets you 24, it's kind of on them too, is it not? And he went, yeah. And I said, yeah, I know. I know. Wins and losses aren't a quarterback stat. They are a stat that we record. They are an emphasized stat for quarterbacks, but they are not a quarterback stat. I want you to know, I had the same headbutting on national radio that I have with you guys here every single week. Wins and losses aren't a quarterback stat. Trajectory, yes.
So what you're saying is you're a contrarian, which you've proved over and over and over and over again. And you call me that. I mean, you're holding up your contrarian sign right now. That might as well be the standard for contrarianism.
Wins and losses are not a quarterback stat. And I think I think at this point, it just needs to be established. You can't stack that on and go, oh, it's only because...
You just pointed out how all these different people disagree with you. So why would... I mean, don't you sit back and go, well, maybe they're right and I'm wrong?
If wins and losses were a quarterback stat, Caleb Williams would have been drafted number one overall last year. Because he lost. Did we put it on him? No. We all went, defense stinks, head coach is a fraud, the quarterback's pretty good. Wins and losses aren't a quarterback stat, or Caleb Williams would have been a third-round guy.
How many wins did he get in Chicago?
Matt Eberflus!
Wow.
If anybody should have wins and losses tagged on them as a stat, it should be coaches, not quarterbacks. General managers should have wins and losses tagged on them more than head coaches should,
really,
or a quarterback should.
Jumping up and down yelling Eberflus to be the last thing you say before you keel over?
No, but sometimes it made me feel watching that team like I was going to die. So that makes sense.
They'd have won more if they left Justin Fields there.
Wins and losses aren't a quarterback stat. Look, I have a poster that proves it. It's right here.
I didn't know CVS did that. So,
I didn't either.
Are you sure you couldn't get it cheaper at Staples? I'm just saying.
I don't know or care. What I know is there's one across the street from me. I didn't get it printed at that one, but I found out that you can just make a you put anything you want on it.
You don't care about that much because you're wrinkling that thing like crazy.
I'm about to go
with all the stuff you're doing.
It's going right there. Actually, probably gonna have to go somewhere else because I don't think Diesel's gonna want me staring over his shoulder the whole show.
Probably not.
Afternoon.
We've had those arguments before, haven't we?
That's a bigger argument than wins and losses aren't a quarterback stat, which is true because it's on a poster. All right, we got to run to a break.
All right, I just want to say, stream Will. This is proof that I'm not. It's him.
No,
he's a contrarian. He's on an island by himself daily. That's a contrarian.
I'm on the island of relevance.
I am the people's champ.
Acknowledge your broadcasting chief.
I was going to say, you need to say what you're doing because people can't hear, see it.
Acknowledge.
Well, they can, but
your
not
your broadcasting chief. All right. I don't like saying that. I take that back. We got to run to a break.
Yeah, 8:40. Yeah, go to break, chief.
John Blau with the Post and Courier going to come by. We got to talk Clemson basketball and baseball with Johnny B. That's coming up at 8:40 this morning. I got your audio blitz coming up in the next segment. Best audio we heard over the weekend. All that and more coming up as the show progresses. Before we get to any of that, ladies and gentlemen, sports flashes are Alonzo stat. Wins and losses aren't a quarterback stat.
Yeah,
though.
Watch on the stream and
it's
see
on
him,
a poster.
See him try to put that
it's on
thing
a poster
up
right now.
The South Carolina women's basketball team notched another win as they beat Vanderbilt 82-54, led by 24-17 from Malaysia Fulwali and Joyce Edwards, respectively. Both of off the bench, with Edwards adding a dozen rebounds. Only Tina Pau reached double digits from the starting five, putting 13 on the score sheet. South Carolina held Vanderbilt to just 30% shooting and 2 of 12 from deep. Alex Ovechkin's march towards Wayne Gretzky's all-time scoring record got a little bit closer as the Capitals forward netted 3 goals in a 7-3 rout of the Edmonton Oilers. Ovechkin's total now sits at 882, putting him just 13 shy of Gretzky's 894. Tune in Wednesday at 6:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Citadel Bulldogs. Furman versus Citadel right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.